John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 22. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here.
Great, thank you, Philip. Let me pray before we start. Father God, we thank you so much for your word, that it's powerful and it changes us. And we ask that you would grow our love for you now and change us as we study it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm Reese. I'm from a church in Dagenham. I work as an assistant minister there. I used to actually work in the city, and I remembered today how much I don't miss wearing shirts and ties in the summer. But as we start to think about this passage, I want to ask a question. How do we have a personal relationship with God today? I've heard many people say we can have a relationship with God through different avenues. I know someone personally, actually, who's recently been going to AA, which is Alcoholics Anonymous. He's been clean for 11 months now. But they try to be very spiritual, and they encourage you to connect to a higher power through doing things, achieving goals, connecting to the higher power in whatever way it might be. It's what you do that gains a relationship with a higher power, and it, in turn, changes your life. That's the idea that they live by. You also have places around the world that people may feel more connected to God. You have Mecca, special countries, church buildings, especially fancy ones like in the Church of England, like here, or the one I work for in Dagenham. Maybe you know people who have gone to places that feel more spiritual, to connect with God, feel his presence more. And maybe some of you do come to this building or buildings to experience God more. Maybe it's here when you feel more of a connection. And now, it's easy to say as a Christian, we have a relationship with God through the risen Lord Jesus. That's true. But this chapter of John is all about Jesus leaving and Jesus comforting his disciples that it's better that he leaves. So what about a relationship with God? How is that possible if the one who reveals God, if he's not even here? And maybe you feel like sometimes you pray, you read the Bible, but you don't feel like there's a personal relationship there. Maybe it feels a bit far off. Maybe it feels like you're texting someone repeatedly and they're not replying. You know God is great. You know what he's done for you. And there's definitely a future with him. But what about the relationship now? It doesn't feel like the relationship I have with my brother or my mum or my wife, whoever it might be, my best friend. If Jesus was physically here, maybe it would feel more proper, like with them. Now, you know the answer is yes. I guess I have a great relationship with God because of Jesus, but it doesn't really feel like it all the time. The last few sections of John in chapter 13 and 14, it's been thinking about what life will be like when Jesus is gone. And the last chapter or so has been a massive comfort, right? It really is better that he leaves, that he dies, he rises from the dead, and he ascends, so he goes up to heaven to be next to his Father. And the last section, which leads on to the bit we're reading today, Jesus has said that he's leaving, but he's going to come back to them. And this is going to come back to them by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, that they may clearly see who Jesus is, more clearly than even if Jesus was standing right there. So Jesus has said that they will see him, but the world, so the world in John, being those who don't trust Jesus, the world won't see him. Believers will, non-believers won't see him. And that leads to our section today, verse 22. Let's read it again. Verse 22. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" How are you going to be seen? How are you going to be aware to us? How will we know you, but not the world? How will we know you, see you, but the world won't know you, see you? How will believers see you, but non-believers not? It isn't really a bad question, actually. If I said to you here today at St. Nick's, so-and-so, I don't know, Leonardo DiCaprio is going to come and stand next to me, but some of you are going to be able to see him, and some of you are not going to be able to see him. You're going to think, who's this madman from Dagenham? Why is he saying this? Is he mad? Why is he so weird? But Jesus actually answers the question with our first point today. And all of our points are linked to the first bit. We have a relationship with Jesus and then a how. So our first point today is, we have a relationship with Jesus through Jesus' words. We have a relationship with Jesus through Jesus' words. It's an incredible truth, these next couple of verses. God makes a home in those who listen to Jesus. Let me read from verse 23. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." So that's how. It's through listening to Jesus' words. It's keeping them. Keeping his words is listening, loving them, considering them of the utmost importance. A keep here is, it's the same word for guard or obey. It's putting maximum importance over them. Something so precious that it must be guarded. Loving his word and responding to it, which anyone who loves him would do, that's the person that God dwells in. Someone who is changed by his word. The person who hates Jesus' words, the one that hears and finds disgust in it, or thinks it's stupid, or has no interest in following it, God doesn't dwell in them. God has not made a home in them. And do you see verse 23? If anyone, it says anyone who listens, this is to all people. John often does this in his gospel. He uses a word that draws the reader in to include them. Isn't it incredible? But as you read through the Bible, God had different dwelling places. Mount Sinai, tabernacle, the temple. Now, it's in you. The God of all creation has made a home in you through the risen Lord Jesus. You know when you make a place a home, it's saying you've made it a place you intend to stay because it's just the right place. The God of all, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, feels the same way about you. If you trust and listen to Jesus' words, isn't that incredible? You have a personal relationship with God through his word. It isn't just here at St. Nick's, though. It's when you're in the office. It's when you're playing football. It's when you're, I don't know, going to dance class, whatever it may be. And when you're on the golf course. It's wherever you are. The Father has made a dwelling place in you. But where do we get these words from? And helpfully, that's in this passage too, from the disciples. That's our second point today. We have a relationship with Jesus through the disciples' words of peace. And we have a relationship with Jesus through the disciples' words of peace. Many people today say that peace is only attainable through a number of avenues. You see in many films, we must go to war first that we can attain peace. Maybe that's true in a sense sometimes, maybe not. But where does true peace come from? Well, it comes through knowing God, knowing Jesus. It's when God dwells in you, when you're united in the beautiful relationship that the Godhead has. And we receive this through the words of Jesus brought to the disciples. Reading from verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. Jesus has spoken to the 11 in front of him. Not us. It says you, not everyone or anyone. In verse 23, we saw that it said anyone. Here it says you, as in the disciples. So this is now just to the disciples, which is clear when we carry on reading from verse 26. Verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Bring to remembrance. We can't remember. Us here today, we were never told by Jesus face to face. The disciples were told, so they are to remember. In John, the disciples often don't understand things, but they will eventually. The Holy Spirit will be the one to remind them. He will remind them of what Jesus said and teach them, the disciples, all things, not me, not you, not the person down the street claiming to have new words from God that contradict the Bible. For you is speaking to the disciples. What comfort for us today, for as we read these words, inspired by the Holy Spirit, they are completely what Jesus said, because the Spirit reminded them. They couldn't do it themselves. I tell you what, the number of times, when I used to live with my mum years ago now, she would say, we'd be going out, and she'd say, run upstairs quickly, Reese, grab the keys for me. I'd go upstairs, go to the toilet, come back downstairs. Where's the keys, Reese? Oh, I forgot them. And it was so easy to do that. Our memories are not very good. Our memory is awful. Maybe yours isn't as bad as mine. Maybe you don't forget something a couple minutes later. But I can guarantee yours isn't perfect, just like the disciples. What a comfort it is that we need not worry about what is God's word. We need not worry when someone today says, I have a word from God, or God is telling me this, because Jesus himself, when he rose to the Father, sent the Spirit, and the disciples remembered all that they needed to know. They were taught all that they needed to know by the Spirit. They would have forgotten things, as I often did when going upstairs. But God did it. So they heard Jesus' words, and then God, the Holy Spirit, brought them to them and revealed all to them. And that's what we have today. Now, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. What is peace? Peace is knowing God. The context is that he was just saying that God would dwell with them and God would reveal the truth to them. That is peace, not stopping wars. Peace isn't having Christmas without the mother-in-law. Not that. Peace is God dwelling in you. Peace is having a personal relationship with the ascended Lord Jesus. Peace is hearing his words and responding to them. Peace comes with being someone who loves his word. Last year, me and I think actually in a few weeks, some guy called Mervy is going to be preaching here, I think. We did an event last year at a pub called the Counting House. I don't know if any of you know it, near Liverpool Street. And we had this man come who was a kind of violent, criminal sort of guy. And he said he had never known peace until he knew his Father in heaven. The peace we find from knowing Jesus through his word and the Spirit, there's nothing like it. And that's because God dwells in us. That's what the peace is. We have a relationship with God. It's when he heard Jesus' words that he found peace, that man. Peace is knowing God, and we know God. He dwells in us when we love his word. Verse 28 says, "You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you." Now, this is the Spirit. Jesus is going, don't fret, because I'm coming to you in spirit. Now, this section has a lot of ideas, spirit, peace, words of the disciples. But I think there's a very strong link between all of these. What is that peace? Verse 28, I will come to you. That's the Spirit coming on them and reminding them of the words they heard. As they remember the words of Jesus, as they listen and respond, God dwells with them. It's all interlinked. Peace, because right now you don't understand me properly, apostles, but I will come to you and make a home in you. Being part of this perfect relationship is so wonderful. It's not abstract. He hasn't left you on read on WhatsApp. He dwells in you today through word and spirit. As you read the word of God today, they are completely interlinked. Word and spirit, you can't separate them. As you read God's word today, God dwells in you. And we actually get an example of what that love between father and son looks like. Our third point today. We have a relationship with Jesus through what he did for his father. Through what he did for his father. Halfway through verse 28, let me read. "If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I." Now, Jesus, for the last chapter, as I said, has been comforting them, showing them why it's better he leaves. But now he turns it on them. "Look, don't you understand that this is better? If you truly loved me, you would have rejoiced that the Son and Father be together in glory." That's what it's all about. Everything he said is because he's going to the Father. Don't you understand that it's so much better? But they will understand, verse 29. "And now I've told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe." They will understand eventually. And then our conversation comes to an end, verse 30. "I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here." And why is Jesus going to his death? Why is he willing to be taken by people to be crucified? Why will the devil, the ruler of the world, look like he's winning when he takes Jesus to a cross? Verse 31. "So that the world may know that I love the Father." All of it is that the world may see this glorious, wonderful relationship, the relationship of Father and Son. The Son shows us the love he has for the Father. The world in John, as we saw already, is people that reject the Father. It's people that reject Jesus. All are part of the world originally. All are in darkness. But Jesus is the one who takes people out of the world and makes them one of his own. It's through his words of life. He must show the world, those who hate him, the love he has for the Father. Through that, people will be saved. Now, verse 31 actually seems a bit odd because Judas had just asked, "How are you going to manifest yourself to us and not the world?" And now it's saying he wants to reveal to the world. And I think, though, that considering he just said to the disciples that they will understand later, he's saying that he is the way that people will know of the love he has for the Father. How people in the world who will become believers will know. So the disciples will understand. Christians who were originally part of the world will understand the love of God through what Jesus does. And we do, don't we? We see what Jesus did. We look at his death on a cross. We see how much he loves his Father. We get a sneak peek into the wonderful relationship they have. And that is what we as believers are included in. Can you believe it? The love that Jesus has for the Father and vice versa, you're included in it now, not in the future, right now. Jesus listens to his Father's commands, his words, and that shows his love for his Father. Listening to and responding to God's word shows you have God making a home in you, dwelling in you. It shows that you have a relationship with him now. Jesus first loved us by going to a cross, rising from the dead and ascending to heaven. Now we have his word shown to us by the Spirit, and through that God lives in us. Jesus listens to his Father to show his love for him. As we listen to Jesus' words, it includes us in that relationship. As you read God's word, as you speak to your Heavenly Father in prayer, don't feel as if you've been left on read. He dwells in you today because of Jesus' words. You're part of the perfect relationship now because of Jesus' words. Read your Bible, love his word, surround yourself in it. It's through this, through hold on to this, guarding this, that you have a relationship with the creator of all things. Don't look elsewhere. It isn't by doing good things or coming to a building, albeit we do teach the Bible here. It isn't by giving money. It isn't by going to certain spiritual places. Some of these things may come from loving God's word, but ultimately it's through cherishing his word, holding it, keeping it. Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus, that he did die, he rose again, and he ascended to glory with you. We thank you that he did send his Spirit, and that through the words you taught the disciples, we today can hear your voice. And through listening to you, we can have a relationship with you. And we ask that we would cherish your word and delight in it and hold on to it and guard it and want to protect it from all. And to want to proclaim it to those who don't yet know you. To have complete trust in your word and Spirit as they powerfully work. In Jesus' name, amen.